Make May your month for big cash winnings at your favorite Washington Gold Casino. Stop by Club Hollywood Casino Shoreline and Royal Casino Everett and see how their guests are winning thousands in cash prizes. So why not make today your day to strike it rich? Washington Gold Casinos. So close, it feels like home.
Hope you guys are having a good morning. It's Brock and Salk here on 710 ESPN Seattle. It was a fun weekend, great draft. It's my favorite one the Seahawks have had since 2012. I was over the moon the day they had drafted Russell Wilson. I didn't care about Bruce Irvin. I didn't care about Bobby Wagner. I didn't care about anything else they did that year. Turned out to all be great. But the one person I was excited about was Russell Wilson. This year, I think I like every single pick they made. I love what they did with Rashad Penny. I love what they did with Will Disley and finding a guy that is going to complete their what does Pete call it? The circle of toughness?
Circle of toughness.
If you want to have a circle of toughness, your tight end should be Will Disley and not Jimmy Graham. Let's just say it straight up. If you want to complete a circle of toughness, your tight end should be like Will Disley and not like Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, one of them's Billy Bozeman with his guns, and the other one's flying above Lake Union on his seaplane.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, they're totally different, and we got that one wrong, man. We've talked about it. I will in retrospect now say that that was probably the worst thing that they've done. It betrayed their stated philosophy. You cannot be the team they want to be with Jimmy Graham as your tight end. And now you go and get Will Disley. I don't know if he's actually a great player, but I like the statement he makes about how serious they are to running the football. So does Rashad Penny. Shaquem Griffin is a specific ode to what they're trying to do with character and leadership and grit. And as are a lot of these guys. I mean, look, we barely talked about Rasheem Green, who's the second pick they make in this draft. Mm-hmm. Brock, he overcomes a speech impediment, and he's 20 years old, drafted out of USC. He is hopefully the Malik McDowell they thought they were getting last year, an interior pass rusher who can come in on those sub situations and rush from the inside and collapse a pocket. I couldn't be more over the moon by what the Seahawks did this weekend.
Yeah, this is a grade I. Not for incomplete, but for identity. This is who they want to be. And this was walking all of that talk. It's having an entire month of January to stew over the fact that they were not in the playoffs for the first time in Russell Wilson's 6 years. To stew over the fact that, you know what, a loyal coach is going to have to fire friends. Mm. Guys that he won a championship with. Guys that played an integral role in the initial development of the toughness of this program, but that it had slipped. The competitive edge had slipped. And walking the talk is what this draft was about. Getting back to the basics. Saying you're going back to the basics is one thing. Everybody loves to do it. Coaches will always do it. We're going to get back to the fundamentals. But paying it off with nearly every move dedicated to the run game, special teams, and the front seven is another. That is paying it off.
Yeah, and if you're going to run the ball, you better punt. You better kick. You better do all those things to change field position. They do. They get a punter, the best punting prospect to come through the draft in years. You talk about the running game, and so will I. We'll go back and forth talking about this. Oh, we've only been talking about it nearly every day for, the last 5 years? The importance of the running game and how different it's been since Marshawn and all that. Well, Pete Carroll was asked specifically in the Saturday press conference, was this about fixing the running game?
It's right on the mark. That's exactly what we hope to do. You know, and we wanted to see if we could factor it in. We were thinking, you know, that there was a good chance we might have a shot at running back because it was a great draft for those guys. And then Will was exactly attuned to that. And so, even in the offseason and the things that we've done, there's a number of things that are leading to that. We give ourselves a chance to get better. There's no question.
And this is not a slide on Russell Wilson. I think Russell can do just about anything with a football, just like this punter from Australia can. All right? And you know, he led the league in passing touchdowns last year. He set records in passing efficiency in 2015. So I think he can do anything. But if you ask me point blank, where is Russell Wilson at his best? And where is he going to be at his best for the next 5 years when they pay him $30 million a year? He's at his best with a team that runs the ball and plays defense. And his efficiency can be off the charts. And he can make what he calls the gaps, you know, the game-altering plays, the four or five of them of a game that he can make in unique ways in whatever fashion it is. And to me, Dwayne Brown is your second-round pick. Jamarco Jones is a fifth-round pick. DJ Fluker you added. You added an O-line coach in a coordinator that, by all accounts right now, from what I've heard, he's liking. He's energized by it. That building is energized by it. And, and most importantly, you're going to play defense and special teams. So, to me, this was not only built to your identity, I think it was also built to your quarterback to play to the strengths of his game and the team's
game. I love this class so much. 206-421-3776. If you guys want to jump aboard here, we'll grab Willie, who's in Snohomish. Hi, Willie.
Hey, morning. How you guys doing today?
Good, dude.
good. Man, I just want to say, first of all, let's give some props to Dan, because we kept this thing in-house. And Pete and John, I trust, because the ultimate goal, like I talked to you guys a couple of weeks ago, is to win a championship. And the most unpredictable GM and coach in the league, Pete Carroll and John Schneider. Give props to those guys. I was upstairs when they called Shaquem Griffin, and my whole neighborhood heard me screaming. And my wife was screaming downstairs, this is what we need. We got role graders in the middle. We got Fluker. We got Brown. We got Depp. We got Effetti. We got Reese Odeyombo. We got people that can plow the Los Angeles Rams into the back streets. But I'm just letting you guys know, this is the ultimate goal of this team, is to go out and win championships. And the way that they go through the draft and pick their players, I've never seen anything like it. And Earl Thomas was a generational draft pick.
He's going to play it out, Willie. They're going to keep me. He's going to play it out. Do me a favor, Willie, right now. I know you're driving. So I don't know if you're on your phone or speakerphone, but can you give me a feeling of what that yell was like? Can you tell that pick comes down? What did it sound like, Willie? Can you give me it?
Well, even better, I can play you Lawyer Malloy announcing it, and then you can give us your reaction to that.
Go.
This is what it sounded like, and then we want to hear your scream, Willie.
I'm Seahawk legend Lawyer Malloy coming to you live from Tacoma, Washington, my hometown and the home team of the Lincoln Aves. With the 141st pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the Seattle Seahawks select Shaquem Griffin, linebacker, Central Florida.
Rich, you okay? You good?
Give it to me one more time, Willie.
That's what we want, guys. We brought it. The dogs brought it. Everybody in our house is jacked.
You want to go to the Seahawks?
Hey, all right. Microsoft.
Whoa! Thank you, Willie.
Thanks, Willie. All right.
He was
give
so
me one more screen.
He couldn't even. He couldn't even wait till after lawyer.
He couldn't even wait. He was yelling at his car.
It was the 140-31st pick thing that got fired.
I can't get enough of lawyer saying that. It's, with the 140-31st pick in the draft. That's great. I would probably do some of the same thing.
Yeah.
So I'm the last person to be making fun of all that. Good on Lawyer. He was awesome. We had fun hanging out with him on Thursday night, and to see him do that on Saturday. Yeah, let's talk Shaquem Griffin for a minute, because if you are a casual sports fan who comes over to the Brock and Salk show every now and again on a big day like today, you probably by now heard about him. He was the talk of the NFL draft. He was born with the umbilical cord wrapped around his hand, and unfortunately led to some major problems, and they had to amputate just below his elbow.
At age four. He lived 4 years of it in excruciating pain. To hear him tell that story to us in our production meeting, like he would the bunk beds, and he would hit it wrong, and you can imagine some of the nerve damage and the amount of unbelievable pain. So finally, at age four, they made a very difficult decision to amputate below the elbow.
And despite that, if you ask his parents, I was watching a great piece ESPN did. He was the first to learn everything. He was the first to tie his shoes. He was the first to do everything in between those two.
I don't know how
brothers.
He does that. I mean, we've talked about this quite a bit. I mean, my left hand has maybe a 15% usability according to the doctors. I think it's actually probably higher than that. But tying shoes for me with one good hand and one not great hand is still a challenge.
Yep.
I don't know how in the world he does it with one hand total.
Or buttoning a shirt or cufflinks.
I can understand. I button my shirt with one hand. I understand. Like, I've learned to do a lot of those things with one hand over the years. How to button a shirt, how to do, cufflinks, things like that. Tying a tie is a huge pain. Doing that top button is god-awful, trying to do that with one hand.
Yep.
But I can't even imagine how he ties his shoes that way.
Or take on tackles or intercept passes or take
get
on
to the quarterback and everything else that he does. He is such an incredible story, and he's awfully motivated too.
For everybody who's pitting in front of me, for everybody who doubted me, you know, they gonna really feel who I am, and I'm not gonna let no price or no pick define who I am. But they will know who Shaq Griffin is. They're gonna know who both of us is, and I promise you that.
I love it, man. And by the way, we got a lot of the same vibe I thought from Rashad Penny when we talked to him on Friday. Humble kid, nice guy, natural born leader. But also, hey, what was your favorite play in college? Oh, it was the touchdown against Stanford, a Power 5 school. Don't doubt me.
Yep.
They both sort of have that. I mean,
you mean a chip?
It's not phony like Josh Rosen.
Mm-hmm.
It's real, and it comes from a humility, but also a confidence. I'm overjoyed at the way they handled
it. It's
all
like
this.
I don't need to talk about it. I can be about it. Like if you ask me about it, I'll tell you. But at the same time, my play speaks for itself.
So how do they end up using this guy? It's one thing to talk about everything he can do and from a leadership perspective, but they see him as a legitimate player, a football player who can help their team win. Pete Carroll was asked how they plan to use him.
We're going to play him at the weak linebacker spot and see how that works out and get a chance to run and chase the football, which he's really adept at doing. We're going to count him to be a big factor in special teams, which he's shown us that he has a great knack for. We're going to try to put him in spots where we can utilize the great speed that he has, and he's as fast as you can get as a linebacker. I don't think it's going to throw us off that he's that fast, but we're anxious to see how it works and how it fits in with him chasing football and all.
What do you like about him as a weak side linebacker? So that's KJ's spot, right?
Yep.
So that's almost more of a middle linebacker spot than an outside linebacker.
It is, but you need
spot.
Him covered up. You want him covered up, and you want him to have the freedom to run sideline to sideline and to read and diagnose and explode to those holes.
Is that what he did in college?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he passed rush.
He was a weak side linebacker?
Yeah, he was a weak side linebacker, and then in any subsets and any of their nickel pass rush stuff, he became an end. So, yeah, I think those are going to be the two areas. I think the one area, and John Schneider addressed that and also talked about it, like the one area where maybe he was average was tackling, you know, and mostly because he's undersized. He's not 240 pounds stopping power, 255 pounds like Bobby or 245-50 like KJ. You know, his twin brother is a corner.
Right.
So he's about 225 pounds. Now, he makes up and he compensates because the amount of force at 438 that he hits
pretty
you with.
Pretty strong, too. I mean, he dominated the combine with the bench press also.
Yeah, 18 reps or so. So there's enough strength there. But that would be the one area through the preseason and the regular season, Mike, that will be the evaluation is, can you tackle these backs in the NFL? Not the American Conference game after game,
right.
But these horses that you've got to tackle at the professional level in a draft class loaded with even more backs coming into this league.
From a fifth-round pick, though, if he's just productive in special teams and adds the amount of inspiration and character that he adds, that's still a good
pick. And pass rush.
If he's just a situational pass rusher or just a special teamer, he's still a pretty good pick
Cassius
in the fifth
Marsh.
Round. 206-421-3776. Grab Kendall, our guy in Santa Monica. What's up, dude?
Hey, guys, I'm just so fired up and so excited. You know, I've been beating this drum. I really believe the best is yet to come. And, you know, there's this book, you know, Pete talks about it, Bill Belichick does too, The Obstacle is the Way. And I think what the draft, what we did this draft embodies that, right? You know, you had the Malik McDowell stuff. You traded for Sheldon Richardson. You could say, oh, I guess you got to rebuild. I guess you got to trade Earl and get those picks, but they found guys who, honestly, you know, I called and I said I wanted Chubb and Shaquem, but Penny is better than Chubb. I was looking at his advanced analytics stats, and the guy made more people miss. He broke more tackles than anyone in college football. So when you're trying to replace Marshawn Lynch, I mean, I just, you know, that was the icing on the cake because I knew
Kendall,
you were going to get Shaquem.
Have you seen that stat on Rashad Penny and Josh Allen? So Josh Allen was the quarterback taken from Wyoming. So they're both from the Mountain West. Josh Allen was so inaccurate that Josh Allen had a lower yards per attempt average than Rashad Penny had yards per carries.
Yeah.
That's nuts. And some of that is a joke about Josh Allen. It's a terrible pick. But some of it is just how impressive Rashad Penny was.
Yeah. Very impressive. And yet Shaquem is the guy that if I'm on draft day, right, Kevin Costner, and you put that little piece of paper in your pocket, like, this is the guy we have to leave this draft with. It's Shaquem. Mm. And I'll say it again. One of John Schneider's, I think, excellent traits in his pro personnel directors and his college scouting director, Scott Fitterer and Trent Kirshner and those guys in that war room, Mike, who put their big board together and who evaluate it, is to have a feel for the market. What do other teams think of these prospects? Where and when can I get them? Can we load up in the fifth round and still get the best punter? Okay, can we load up and have 4 fifth-round picks? And, guys, do we all feel confident as we lay this thing out and we watch it unfold? Mm. Do we still feel good about these market conditions? Can we get the best punter? Yeah, we can get him in the fifth. Can we get Shaquem in the fifth? I don't know. And I think of Tony Dungy and Bill Polian, the story that I heard from both of those men, that the year they drafted their safety out of Iowa, Bob Sanders, right? And Polian was getting real nervous. And Dungy's like, Bill, just relax. He will be there at 30. I don't think he's going to be there. He's going to be there at 30. The league doesn't like small safeties. He will be. And those two going back and forth to assure one another that, hey, I know this market. I know other people. I know how they're going to view it. And for Shaquem to be sitting there in the fifth round, Mike, that they still had the, you know, the wherewithal of the market conditions to know it, to get that guy they had to have. He had to be here.
Hello?
Shaquem.
Yes, sir.
Hey, it's John Schneider calling, buddy. How you doing?
I can't even breathe right now.
Yeah, it's a dream come true for us too, buddy. We're happy to have you, man. You get to play with your brother again, okay? We're going to pick you right here, okay? 141.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you so much, sir.
Hey, here's Coach Carroll, okay, buddy? Congratulations. Can't wait to see you.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much.
Shaq, you okay?
I can't breathe right now. I'm not going to breathe.
Still can't breathe.
Oh, my God.
Hey, well, it's a real deal, man. Appreciate you waiting this thing out. I know you've been dying a little bit, but this is a great moment, and we're really
Thank
excited
you so
about
much.
It. We're expecting you to come in here and bust. Now, you know that, right?
Yes, sir. I'm going to give everything I got.
I know you will. I know you will. Congratulations on it. Congrats to your brother, too, and your family. I know everybody's really excited about this, and couldn't be sweeter. Hey, be humble, okay? Be humble okay, as we do this.
I promise you that.
I know. Come in, working your tail. This is freaking awesome. Congratulations. Hey, Shaquem.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. What's up, Coach?
It's pretty amazing, man. I mean, it's hard not to hear that and just get excited about what he's going to bring
some
to the table, right?
I got some goosebumps. And I'll say this, that be humble, that, again, is the feeling that I got around that building on Friday. That's a feeling I got Thursday, spending a little time with Tyler Lockett. Mm. You know, it's probably not a surprise, John Clayton. We asked John Clayton what stood out to him about this building, being around Pete and John and everything else. That same H word comes up yet again.
I think that there's a humility and a hard work ethic that's there in almost each of the voices that you heard over the course of the 3 days, because I think that was one of the themes.
And don't think that that's not reactive. You know, it's some of the culture and everything else over the last few years,
of
winning
course.
Championships and all the...
Look at the guys they got rid of. Humility yes. is not an accident that is part of what they're looking for. Yep. It also changes some of the marketing around here, right? You're going to have twins for the first time, right? That's awesome. You get twins together on the Seahawks. You may remember those old Coors Light commercials. I've told that there may be a little something in the works for a new Seahawks marketing campaign.
I love football on TV. Shaquem back at DB. Pete Carroll's giant grin and twins.
I love Ruby Copperow. Shaquem Sackett Rosen being a 12 and twins.
Powerful, powerful stuff from the Seahawks. That is going to be a marketing campaign to end all the rest, man.
That is going to be huge.
That is going to be huge.
In Black Diamond and in Camp and in Puyallup and in Eatonville.
Man, we were going back and watching those. How old were those? When did those commercials come out?
I think they were like the early 2000s, late 90s.
I can't believe that was only like 15, 18 years ago. Like, things have changed a lot.
Fortunately.
In the way you can advertise a product on TV.
Fortunately.
Things have changed a lot.
You mean like those
lot.
Old Herbal Essences commercials that were like, oh my goodness.
This is
like,
inappropriate.
Can we just show that on TV?
We just call those porn, basically.
Whoa.
Yeah. Things have changed a little bit since they were going with the And Twins ad. So, we'll see. The Seahawks sort of have a new spin on the whole thing.
Was that Schneider singing that thing too, brother?
Why wouldn't
Schneider
it
and Uncle Will Disley singing that one?
That's hey, you want to grab another call here? Let's take Kirk, who's in Richland. Good morning, Kirk.
Yeah, for me, it's the tight end we drafted, the best run-blocking tight end in this draft. He's going to learn more, and he's going to look up at Dixon. And I just love the fit. So overall, that's my favorite draft pick.
Well, you and I are on the same page, man. I've been saying all day, that is my favorite pick they made. He's not necessarily going to be my favorite player. And obviously, I love Shaquem Griffin in that story, and it hits home for me personally. And there's a million great things about this draft. But from a Seahawks perspective, Will Disley is the guy that sums up what they're supposed to be, right? I mean, he sums up what they're supposed to be. If you like... If you like the phone call with Shaquem Griffin and the way that one went, the one with Will Disley was very different.
Hello?
Hey, is this Uncle Will?
This is Uncle Will.
Uncle Will, hey, John Schneider calling, buddy.
How are you doing?
You doing good, man?
I'm doing great.
Good. You're going to have to move all the way over to the east side, brother. We're going to take you right here, okay?
No.
No.
All right, man. I can't wait to be a Seahawk.
Yeah, dude. We're fired up. We'll take you at 120, bud. Here's Coach Carroll. We're going to turn it in right now, bud.
Does anybody throw you for a loop more than Schneider? Like, the last thing he's expecting is somebody to say, hey, is this Uncle Will?
Clearly something they've discussed before, like a nickname that he was calling him when he came to work out.
There is something about Montana,
yes,
guys.
That's definitely
okay,
true.
Okay, I've never told this story. I think I can tell it. And if I can't, then you can just stop me at some point. But we had this.
Yeah, it's Uncle Will.
We had a walk-on linebacker from Montana that was in our freshman class. Great guy. I would imagine just like Billy Bozeman and Uncle Will, right? And he was just salt of the earth, man. There was just something about just his blue-collar nature and everything else. And our class had Richland and Puyallup and Aberdeen. I mean, it was sprinkled with some down-home guys. But then there was this guy from Montana. And I remember his girlfriend coming over for the first time. And, like, we all had, like, you know, dorm mates, right? I mean, there's, like, two guys in the dorm and all sorts of dorm mates. And his girlfriend came over, and it was, like, the first time I like, met, you know, because he roomed, I think, with Mize. And I come over to their room, and she's, like, it's, like, a night, and she's in this, like, little negligee, and I'm like, whoa, what are we doing here? What are we doing?
What?
You know, yeah. And Billy Bozeman's like, what? No problem here. Like, what's the big deal? No, okay, all right.
So you're just hanging out, the three of you guys, like that?
No, I was. What do you think
took
I
off.
Was? I was out. Yeah,
of course you were.
Wait, when was this?
See you later, freshman year.
Brock's freshman year of college.
Just Montana
That's
guys.
That's not really a thing people did back then.
No,
either.
Not really. Oh. Montana just rolls a little different.
That is for sure.
A little down home.
All right. Well, I'm excited about Will Dissly. We're all excited about Shaquem Griffin. The phone lines are open 206-421-3776. Brock, you mentioned the guys that they absolutely had to get in this draft. Figure out who those were next. I'm Brock and Salk.
Heritage Distilling's BSB Lounge at the ballpark. Award-winning spirits, including BSB and BSB 103. Brown sugar bourbon at 103 proof. Throw your tongue the heater. You can't spell baseball without the BSB Lounge. Heritage Distilling Company, proud sponsor of your Seattle Mariners.
I love football on TV. Shaquille back at DB, Pete Carroll's giant grin, and Twins.
I love Ruby Copper Row, Shaquille Zachy Rosen, being a 12, and Twins. I love this draft. I love this draft. It's an all-star.
A lot of reasons to be excited today. Twins on the Seahawks, probably chief among them. Thanks, Addy. That's
really good
stuff. Good,
man. Will Dissly, Schneider, pairing that thing together.
Okay,
two
brother.
Twins, Uncle Will, brother.
Okay, brother. Yeah, the
John Schneider with the Seattle Seahawks call, brother. All right, brother. Congratulations. We're going to take you right here at 27. Here's Coach Carroll, all right, brother?
Two gratuitous brothers there. Two gratuitous brothers.
What did you say, Kyle? That toned down?
He dropped the brother. He went all buddy.
No,
in every
he said
video.
It,
no, he said it to Uncle Will still. He dropped one in. But then he went, what,
he
bud?
He was clearly trying to
he
go bud and buddy.
Pal. Right. He went, yeah, or no, bud and
there's
buddy.
There's a dude in there, too, I'm pretty sure. So, look, John's equal opportunity, man. He's got a lot of different nicknames, and he's willing to start throwing them around. I just like the idea of the whole call, like, and what it, like, you are recording one of the most intense moments in every one of these kids' lives, and then they all have funny reactions to it.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, dream come true. Right. And they have family and friends. And, you know, I think you heard that with Shaquem and Will and all of them, Rashad and all their family and friends. That's the thing about it. It is a generational moment.
Have you ever been incredibly excited on a phone, but not been doing something, but not actually able to say anything into the phone?
Ooh.
Has that ever happened to you?
I don't think so.
Have you ever had like a moment, anybody like of extreme excitement?
You obviously
like
have.
You ask a girl out or something and she says, yeah, this is back in the day before there was text. Right. And like, you're jumping up and down, but you got to like remain cool on the phone or something. Have you ever had a moment like that?
I could certainly imagine it.
I've only had one, but I remember it very vividly. It was, and look, understand, when I came here, before I got here to Seattle, I was covering the Red Sox as a reporter. And the one thing I'd always wanted to do was just legit break a story. It was something I'd always wanted to do. And the first year we were here, right on trade deadline day, I broke the Jared Washburn that he had been traded to Detroit. Yes. And when I got that confirmation and came on the phone, I was in my apartment. It was really early. It was like 7 o'clock in the morning or something. I was in my apartment. I got it. And I was just like jumping up and down and like running in place, but couldn't actually yell because it would have been embarrassing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was I remember that vividly. And I kind of get the feeling that's what a lot of these kids are doing times a thousand.
Oh, for sure.
Like, it's by far the coolest moment, but you're being recorded. Sometimes it's being videotaped. Yep. Like, and you've got to kind of play it cool, but you're crying, you're emotional. It's all of that hard work. It's
something you'll
amazing.
Never forget. Something you will absolutely never forget for the rest of your life. For all of these guys in different capacities. You asked a question before we went to the segment there. Like, who was the one? Who was the one you had to have? It's really weird to say this, but the two that I underline, because I think, I mean, Penny's your first round priority.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Nick Chubb, I think there were some other options there. Penny's the obvious. They wanted Penny. Penny was the obvious, but it's weird to underline Michael Dixon and Will Dissly.
Yeah, Dissly's the answer to me.
Those are the other two that I would underline.
They have to come out of this draft with Will Dissly.
Yeah.
And I think they believed it. In order to back up everything they've been talking about with the running game, they needed to come out of this draft with the best, most physical run blocking tight end they had.
And there were some other good ones, by the way. And a bunch of them went right around or right after Dissly. You know, the kid out of Stanford's a really good block. There were some other good blocking tight ends. But again, I would say if just watching the market conditions, that was the one they wanted. Yeah. Schultz was the kid out of Stanford. There are three or four other really good blocking tight ends, but they got the best blocking tight end in their mind. They got the best runner outside of Saquon in their mind. They got the best punter in this class in their mind and targeted each of those with conviction and got all of
them. And in the meantime, you get another player to try to roll into that Malik McDowell spot with Rasheem Green. I love what they did. 206-421-3776. Grab Paul is in Sammamish. Good morning, Paul. What's up?
Good morning, guys. So I became aware of Shaquem Griffin a few years ago when my niece was attending UCF, and so I started watching their games, and they weren't doing too well. But this last season, I saw him in some of these blowout games, and I kept hearing this name, Shaquem Griffin, and every tackle was Shaquem Griffin, Shaquem Griffin. And it wasn't until the second-to-last game, the game before the bowl game, I'm watching it with my wife, and I said, that kid's only got one arm. He's only got one hand. And it wasn't that he wasn't that made it for me. It was that he was making all these tackles, and I never even realized this what do you want to call it, disability or a different ability, whatever, that it wasn't about that. It was about this kid was a player. He was a baller, and he was hitting with the same intensity that I see Cam Chancellor hit.
Awesome.
That's why really they call him Bam Bam. I mean, just hammer guy.
I think that would mean a lot to him, man. And it was interesting. Paul, thanks for the phone call. Talking to Jim Abbott last week. And of course, Jim Abbott, the left-handed pitcher who was born without a right hand and managed to pitch successfully in Major League Baseball, kind of talking about the same thing. He just wanted to be noticed for being a player, not for being a one-armed player.
Yeah, he must have reiterated that three or four times.
Absolutely.
And just said, I didn't want to be noticed for having one arm. I'm a pitcher. And Shaquem, you're going to hear the same thing from Shaquem. You heard a little bit of it on the press conference call. Hopefully he jumps on our station today. I think he's going to jump on with our afternoon guys hopefully today. We're going to see him at rookie minicamp, and you will hear that over and over again.
Yeah.
Don't call me the one-arm player. I'm a football player. That's what I am. And I think, Paul, he would, as Salk said, love your testimony right there.
As somebody who catches and throws with his right hand when I play softball now and baseball then, there was never a bigger compliment to me than when somebody who I had played with or against for a while said, hey, did you forget your glove today? No. Well, why are you doing that? Dude, I do this every day. Really? I've never noticed. Great. Then I'm doing it right. That's awesome. Good to hear.
Yep.
Like, I mean, that was always my favorite thing to hear. Oh, did you forget your glove?
Yeah, and we'll be out there Friday for rookie minicamp, and the media will Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And there are people that make lasting impressions. Russell Wilson has made the biggest of any of the rookie minicamps. It was by that Sunday afternoon that Pete said, yep, he's got to be in the mix. And I promise you this. I can already tell you, come Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, the biggest impression you're going to say to me watching practice and anybody else out there is, does this guy ever slow down?
Mm.
Like, does this guy ever stop? Does he ever tire? Because he is just full speed all the time in every drill.
I'm so excited about this. Let's grab Rashid, who's in Bothell. Good morning, Rashid.
Hi, guys. How are you doing today?
Good. Oh, so good.
I actually really love this selection of the punter, and I have a reason why. With the kickoff situation in limbo, it might be eliminated. So the most important special teams player that's going to be in years to come is going to be the punter. And we could have used the cap relief and stuff, and if you get the best punter. And just hindsight is 20/20. But today, if anybody were to trade for Johnny Hecker or Justin Tucker, it would easily be a third round or even higher. You know, they're so valuable to the team. So I know people can pan, like, why would they trade up and everything, but I actually love that pick, and I actually love the Rashad Penny pick, and I think last couple of years, people didn't get on the field, so that's why we couldn't evaluate. But for me, a successful draft is where you can come out of three or four starters, and last year we had one, like, Nas Jones could be a starter, Tredric Thompson could be a starter, and, you know, so I think this year, and even Ethan Posick.
Shaquille Griffin, for sure, already is a starter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And Shaquille. So if you get three or four starters out of, and who can get second contracts and stuff, that's a successful draft.
I'll tell you this too, man.
Yeah, they can take their D pluses or C pluses, and we'll show them come September.
Attaboy.
Thanks for taking my call, sir.
Yeah, you got it, man. Thank you. And I'll say this too. I think with all three of those picks, they set the market. I talked about the blocking tight end. They set the market. Then you started to see them go. They took the running back, and then you saw the running back go.
They started the run on that position.
Yes, they did. And they took the punter, and then two more punters went in the fifth round. Like, you look at the different market conditions with all of them, and if any of them and any of those experts that were sitting on the stage, like, oh, that is a reach in value. Oh, okay, well, maybe it wasn't, because there's 28, there's 31, there's 33, there's 36. Oh, yeah. There's the tight end, the blocking tight end. Oh, there's the next one, and then there's the next one. Oh, there's the punter, and then there's the next one, and there's the next one.
So let's see. They get this, what they believe was the second-best running back in the draft, right?
Yes.
Okay.
They believe that wholeheartedly.
They believe they had the second-best running back in the draft, and you can certainly make the argument that they're right. Rashad Penny was right in that conversation. Did they get the best blocking tight end in the draft?
Ian Thomas out of Indiana is a pretty legit dude. He was the first pick of the fourth round.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be hard-pressed for me. He's a little bit bigger. He's done it a little bit longer. But, Will Disley's right there. Mike Mayock would say he's better.
Okay.
So he's in that conversation.
Did they get the best punter in however many years in the draft?
I think yes. Now, J.K. Scott at Alabama and the kid out of Florida also went in that fifth round. But they had their choice of any of them, and this is the one that they wanted.
I guess I just look at it and say, okay, they got three players that are at or near the very top of their position.
Correct.
In this draft.
And that hasn't happened in a long time.
That's a really big deal, even if that position is punter. Being the best at anything is valuable in the NFL. Add to that some of the other things they did. You need a player who plays Rasheem Green's position, somebody who can be an interior pass rusher, especially on third down. They needed to get somebody like a Trey Flowers, a physical press corner, is going to move from safety to make that move. And so, and then you add a couple of guys who can rush the passer from the outside, and Griffin and Martin. I don't know what's not to like.
And did they get the best effort guy?
Love it.
Did they get the best effort guy in this draft?
In the whole draft.
Hands down, there is no question about that.
Let's grab DJ in Tacoma. What's up, DJ? Good morning.
Final word.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good.
Hey, great show so far, man, I'll tell you. But I love the point you guys made earlier on about, you know, how a pick can really affect how things can look going forward. And, boy, like the Malik McDowell pick last year, there we had, like, you know, Cam Robinson at our doorstep, but they, you know, John Schneider rolled the dice and took Malik McDowell, which set off the chain reaction of all the other players and losing that. But, you know, fast forward to this year, I'm watching the draft go by, and he picks that running back, and I thought, oh, my God. I mean, is Schneider just the ultimate gambler? But, boy, you know, the more in-depth I looked at it, God, what a solid pick all the way through. And just a secondary comment on the Griffin thing. I told my son as we watched the draft all the way through, I said, we will pick that guy at one point. I guarantee you. It's just, not only is he a good player, but just from a marketing feel-good standpoint.
And when they did, DJ, when they picked him, how was your reaction?
Let's put it this way. My reaction with my son and I, as he sat in the chair next to me, was the exact same reaction when Russell Wilson threw the bomb in overtime against Green Bay that put us to the Super Bowl.
Awesome.
We both jumped up, high-fived, and we stomped around the front room for 20 minutes.
Sounds good, dude. Thanks, appreciate the phone call, DJ. There you go. Yeah, it was. It felt like destiny that they were going to get
Shaquille
Griffin.
All of our callers today,
should be
right? Just the emotion that this draft
and nationally it's getting panned. Nationally, they're killing this draft. Seahawks fans are calling up left and right about how excited they are about what happened. They sound like the AFC Championship lady in New England. They're so excited about this draft. And nationally, this thing is getting destroyed. Unbelievable.
From a place of business.
All right, let's answer your question. 710-710. 710, powered by Coors Light. Any question on any subject, we're here to answer them. Draft questions, life questions, food questions. I can now tell you what it's like to be in your 40s, or Jessamine texted me over the weekend, happy new 30th birthday, which I really appreciated. We'll take questions on any of it. 710-710. It's powered by Coors Light, and it's next. Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Hey, Brock Hewitt here for Toyota Puyallup. You know, when you're shopping for a new vehicle, you want the best value and to be treated fairly. You want confidence that the dealership will be there long after the sale. Well, Toyota Puyallup is Washington's most awarded Toyota dealer for customer satisfaction, and they've been doing it for almost 50 years. Toyota Puyallup has more than 700 new Toyotas for you to choose from, and one of the largest selections of Toyota trucks in the Northwest. Plus, they all come with 2 years of complimentary maintenance. So go see Carrie and her team at Toyota Puyallup, putting you first since 1970.
Hey, this is Bob Stelton from the Bob Gras and Tom Show. I want to thank you for listening to the Brock and Salk Show. And you know what would be fantastic is if you checked out the Bob Gras and Tom Show every day from noon to 3. You can stream us live at 710sports.com or on the 710 Sports app or listen on demand.
This is Brock and Salk. Answer the question, jerk.
Keep asking questions. Come on, I'll answer them. Come on, I'm here. I'm going to answer your questions, dang it.
That's my question! The question, jerk!
Well, don't just stand there. Answer the question, jerk!
Answering your questions here at Brock and Salk on 710 ESPN Seattle. He's Brock. I'm Mike. Thanks for being with us. Hope you're having a good day. Hope you're psyched up about what the Seahawks did this weekend as we are. Hope you're psyched up about where the Mariners are at, 7-3 road trip as we are. We'll be talking a lot about them tomorrow. John Morosi will join us at 9 o'clock. Mitch Haniger with a great start. Edwin Diaz with a ridiculous start. They're coming home for a nice extended homestand.
I think I can say this unquestionably.
Yeah.
This Shaquem Griffin pick is provided the most emotion, the most reaction since Russell.
Mm.
That it's been 6 years since you have seen a pick that I think collectively this fan base, and one of our callers said it earlier, I mean, we needed this. Mariners needed Ohtani. Right? We talked about that for months, and I can only imagine what this team would be with Ohtani. Holy smokes. Right? And they needed it. This team, to start over in this retool, they needed Shaquem.
I choose to think that if they'd had Ohtani, they would have had to play Nelson Cruz more in the outfield, and they'd be worse.
Okay.
How's that?
That's fine.
I choose to think that. Hey,
next question.
I'm going to talk about this tomorrow morning, probably earlier in the show, but I'd be curious your thought on this real quick. So, first one on Twitter here, Shannon Sanchez on Twitter, says, this draft class just might help me fall back in love with my Seahawks again.
Yep.
And there's an immediate response to her from someone named Alex who says, so you're a bandwagon fan. Got it. Is that how you feel? Do you think falling back in love with the Seahawks is a bandwagoning thing? I don't think it is. I don't think someone like Shannon, I don't think what she's saying is that she bailed on them and she stopped watching. Just that it's been, you've had to kind of force yourself to believe some things the last few years that maybe you didn't fully believe in your core.
Yep.
And this is the type of draft class coming off the type of offseason they had that helps you re-fall in love. Not just like, but actually fall in love again. I think that's great. Instead of going through the motions, cheering, I don't really feel the confidence the same way.
They became hard to root for. You didn't root against. I don't think you totally went away. They just became hard to root for.
You don't check out.
No.
You just don't have the same passion.
Yep.
Next question.
A lot of people wondering what they're going to do. So when we first met Shaquem Griffin, he told us his name was Keel.
Yeah.
Then he said, well, I'll go by Shaq.
Right.
But now they've drafted his brother Shaquem. So what's the deal? Are they both going to go by Shaq? Is it Keem and Keel? Mm. How does this work?
They'll let us know. They'll tell us.
Shaquem and Keel, right?
Shaquem and Shaquem.
Because that's what Shaquem told us last year. You want to go by Shaq? He's like, no, I'm Keel.
But
then
everyone
called him Shaq anyway.
Right.
No, he changed. He said, I want to go by Shaq after that.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I don't think so.
They're pros now. It's going to be Shaquem and Shaquem.
Just go with a full name. Yeah. No nicknames for them. All right. I like that.
I will say, the 59.
He's not a 59.
That's what he's wearing. 59 just doesn't...
Not comfortable there.
It's too big. It's too bulky. It's
true. Next question.
Let's see. Jerks, I was wondering what Brock thinks about this quarterback they picked in the 7th round for the Seahawks.
Mr. Magoo?
Yes.
I know very little of Mr.
Alex
Magoo.
Alex Magoo.
Yeah, Florida International was goo. So he had to play for a bad team in a bad program. And he's creative. I think I heard somebody say, maybe it was Schneider, said, you know, those players that you just want to get when you're on the ball field as a kid and you just watch. I'm like, wow, I want to, that guy just makes something out of nothing. He's just creative. I just want him on my team. That's kind of the trait that he brought. And he'll push, you know, and compete with a couple guys that I think are more physically, more physically arm talented. And the other kid has been here and done a little bit and gained some trust. So it'll be a competitive situation. But, yeah, I don't want to speak out of turn that I've seen him play a whole lot. And I think it is hard when you're evaluating a QB from a bad program with a bad team around him. It's hard to look good sometimes.
Next question.
Guys, my idiot roommate fried fish last night in our apartment. Now I'm at work and my jeans stink like bad fish. What can I do to mask the smell?
Immediately, you just got to change your clothes. You go home at lunch, you got to change.
Or can you just go out and get some of that...
Like the Febreze. You can find it in the travel, at a drugstore. You can find it in the travel section.
That could buy you a half hour to an hour.
Yeah, but you can keep going back to that well throughout the day.
What is peppermint?
You don't want to be Febreze guy either,
Isn't peppermint the best spray? You kind of hear, like, it's pretty overwhelming.
Like, go get some toothpaste and wipe it on your clothes or something.
A little, Crest Ultra White.
Yeah. Or, on the flip side, just make your entire office smell like fish. Then you're not the weird guy.
Speaking of smell, Brock's probably the wrong person to talk about this with, but maybe you guys. I told you we went out to this Bainbridge Distilling Company over in Bainbridge Island.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so when you go through all the barrels they have for the whiskey, it smells great, right? It's that, that oak smell mixed with sort of the sugary bourbon whiskey type smell.
Yeah, that's...
Do you think that would make a cologne? Like, would you want a cologne that...
Does smell like a drunk guy?
A little... That's sort of the downside, is you sort of smell
like...
Have
you been drinking today, sir?
Like, no, it's just my cologne. But it's not... It's not quite alcohol. It's like that sweet...
No, I wear a Kentucky bourbon cologne, officer. You might be smelling a fine oak barrel.
We laugh about this, but it probably already exists.
It probably does. Yes. It's like the beach.
Next question.
I think that's what Uncle Will, Billy Bozeman, wears. Well.
Billy Bozeman definitely wears that. Except it's not a cologne. He just rubs it straight from the barrel.
Next question.
Jerks, do you think there was an understanding by other GMs that Griffin just belonged to Seattle and that no one else should draft him?
No.
I actually kind of found myself wondering a little bit about that. Like, do you think they've all sort of been like, yeah, he's going to Seattle? No?
No.
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 I kind of think they're
right. Okay.
I'm with you, Texter. CJ ProSize, how many games will we be healthy and active for this year?
Who had a tougher day watching that draft? ProSize or John Ryan?
Ooh. Well, John Ryan. Yeah. He no longer has a job.
Well, John Ryan, they can say he's competing, but he's already been cut.
Yes.
No, he is not.
Sorry, John. We'll see ya. All right, time for us. Enjoy. We got to get out of here. Time for us to go. Sounds like we're hoping, anyway, that Shaquem Griffin will be on with Danny David Moore later on this afternoon.
Please.
Can't wait to hear that. Those guys will have a blast with him. Looking forward to chatting a whole lot more about this tomorrow and a ton of Mariners conversation as well. We'll catch you guys at 7 a.m. Until then, the hay
is in the barn.
See everybody.
I'm freaking jacked.